You may be seated. Good morning and happy Easter. Christ is risen. Amen. So excited about the song, I forgot the bell. That's okay. In case you don't know, the Hallelujah Chorus, part of Handel's Messiah, written in the year 1741 by George Frederick Handel. And when he performed it before King George II of England, 2 years later, the king was so moved, he stood. And so that has been the tradition ever since. Welcome, it's good to see you all. What a beautiful resurrection day that we are here to celebrate. Many of you had a delicious breakfast in the social hall. Special thanks to our high school youth and advisors and parents for putting that together and making sure it happened. Thank you. Thanks to all who gave Easter lilies in memory of loved ones. They're beautiful. Special thanks to Teresa for arranging them and taking the time to do that. We enjoy that every year. There's many other announcements, but I am not going into them. That's why they're in your bulletin for you to read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, what a glorious day. And Lord, you know these are tears of joy in my heart that we are able to gather this year in this sanctuary in your wonderful presence with family and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. We are here to worship you, Jesus. Our King, our resurrected, risen Lord. What a glorious day. And we thank you, Father, for your presence here, for moving among us mightily by the power of your Spirit. Thank you for how you have changed each of our lives, for the work that you continue to do in each of our lives, through your word, by your Spirit. We have so much to praise you for, and so we do as we lift our voices in song, singing Christ the Lord is risen today. And Jesus, it is in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Sorry for the tears, but can't help it. Let's stand together as we sing that. Christ the Lord is risen today. Sing it with all your hearts.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful singing. And thank you, Marina, for the music on the piano and Cindy on the organ, too. Well, before you're seated, you can, whatever you're comfortable with, greeting, air high five, or however, before you're seated. Okay, our sharing of joys and concerns. It's so great to see everybody here. Just some updates on things that I have. First, a special welcome home to Carmen Taylor, who is back there somewhere. Yes. Why don't you stand, Carmen, please? Thank you. I know. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Carmen serves in our Air National Guard, has been deployed the last 3 months, and just got home the end of this week. So, welcome home. Some other things that I have, continued prayers for Milo Hauk. He was taken early yesterday morning in the ambulance up to the Heart Hospital. I did talk to both of them this morning briefly on the phone, and he's doing much better. It's part of his ongoing challenges with the congestive heart failure and filling up with fluids, and then they take off quite a bit of fluid. So he's feeling much better today. Sounds like he'll be there a couple days. So be praying for both of them. Also prayers for the family of Walter Seiler. Maybe you know him better as Jake. This would be Joanne Nuss's brother. And he did go home to be with the Lord yesterday morning after a battle with cancer here. So we pray for his wife, Sharon, and all the family. Also a note, and this one is in your bulletin, but I thought I'd mention it. As far as Dwayne Hoff, the family did set a day for his memorial service, and that'll be Saturday, April 24th at 2 in the afternoon. That will be here in the sanctuary. Otherwise, continued prayers for Phyllis Whale and Terry Seiler. Betty Hoff, we did see her Friday, and she's coming along a lot better. And Frieda Nuss, too. She's at home in hospice care. So, anything else over here? Okay, how about over here? Everybody's shy today. In the balcony, Tricia. Thank you. Okay, thanks for all the donations of the egg bakes. If you didn't get that, there are some left over in the fridge. Otherwise, your plates, pans should be washed and on the counter. And I'll say something about Tricia here that she probably would not say, but if you didn't know, she was nominated for one of the remarkable women in Kelloland and was, I think, one of the top four finalists. And didn't get the top place, but that's quite an honor. So congratulations to Tricia. And Brantley. Your mom is going to have a baby, isn't she? Yeah, congratulations to Ashley and Kevin Holsworth. I forget when you're due, Ashley. September 5th. Okay, exciting. Congratulations. All right, let's bow our heads, please, in prayer. Lord, yes, what a glorious, glorious day it is, and with joy and excitement in our hearts, we thank you. Thank you for another little one being knit together within the womb here, Ashley, and I know we have several others in the congregation that you are at work within that secret place, and we thank you for that, for the miracle of children and childbirth. So we just pray for Ashley and the others that are with child as they come closer to delivery, that that would all go well. Father, we thank you for for Tricia and Matt Fisher. What an honor for her to receive that award, and certainly well-deserving, and we thank you for that. Lord, we want to pray for Milo Hauk as he's up there in the hospital. And I know they had hoped to be here today, but thank you for just filling that room with your presence, your healing touch throughout his body, both to Milo and Marilee. Lord, thank you for our troops, Carmen Taylor, returning from her deployment with the Air National Guard. And we have many in the congregation who serve in the military various ways, full-time or in the Guards. And we thank you always for all of them, those overseas and even in our own country who aren't able to be with their families. We just pray that they're able to rejoice and have a chapel service on this very special day, wherever they are at. We lift up the family of Jake Seiler, especially Sharon and the kids and grandkids, and Jerry and Joanne, and all the family at his home going. Lord, it's as you declared, you are the resurrection and the life, and that whoever lives and believes in you would never die. You said that, and we know it's just a stepping over. We thank you that Jake is with you now in heaven, healed and whole. Lord, for Betty Hofe, thank you for your continued healing work throughout her body and your comfort to that family during this time. We pray for these others, Phyllis Whale and Terry Seiler, certainly for Frida on hospice, and all many more listed in our bulletin. We lift them up to you. And Father, as we pray, we pray for our nation. Thank you for the freedoms of worship that we enjoy, and may they continue as the founding fathers determined and expressed in our Constitution. Thank you that we're able to gather freely in this sanctuary on a glorious day when a year ago we weren't meeting. Makes it all the more special to celebrate you and your resurrection today. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. The offering box is in the back if for those that desire to give, but I do still want to read a verse here, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "And if the Spirit of Him, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you." And we are blessed by that. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
So, Father, we do thank you for the Spirit of the living God who lives within us as your children, for your life-giving, quickening power throughout every part of our beings. Lord, we give because you gave first. You loved us first. While we were yet sinners, you died for us. You took that first step. And so, Father, it is a joy to give back the first fruits of all of our increase, so that the gospel message can continue to be proclaimed loud and clear to every generation that Jesus lives. And we know it and we rejoice in it. We thank you for these things, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we do pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. Thank you.
morning, boys and girls. How are you all today? Oh, you look so beautiful, pretty, handsome. Wow, it's great to see all you guys. You can just sit down right here, Bo, wherever you want, or up there. Wow, is today an exciting day? Why? It's Easter. What happened on Easter? Jesus, God's son, right? Dies on the cross. And then what happens on Easter? He rose from the dead, didn't he? That is so exciting. So I have a question for you all. See this? What is this? Orange. It's a glass of orange juice, right? Well, some people would look at this and they would say, I think that's half full. And other people might look at this and say, I think it's half empty. So what do you say? How many think it's half full? Yep, so a lot of you. How many think it's half empty? Oh, a few of you? Okay, well, I'll just settle it. Hold on. What is it now? Empty. Whoo! That's right. But people still look at this like, that is empty. I am so bummed because it's all gone now. I can't share it with you, can I? And other people look at this and say, wow, it's empty. What's it going to be filled with next? You know what? This same thing happened on Easter morning. The morning after Jesus was crucified. Listen to this in John chapter 20. Early the next morning of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone, what happened to the stone? It was rolled away. So she just couldn't believe it. It was rolled away. So she ran all the way back to where the other disciples were. And she told them. What'd she tell them? The stone has been rolled away. So Peter and another disciple that they say was John. We might need somebody up here. We have a little oops situation. It's wonderful to see all these boys and girls. It's hard to share sometimes. But Mary said to them, they've taken the Lord, and I don't know where they have put him. So Peter and John, they started off to the tomb. All of them were running. And one of them outran Peter. But when he got there, he bent over and looked in, and he didn't go in yet. But Peter went in. He went in, and he thought it was curious. He looked around. He saw the strips of linen laying around and the cloth that Jesus had been buried in folded neatly. He might have said something like, that's pretty interesting. He could have said that. Mary looked, so he was curious. Mary looked and she was afraid. Do you know why she was afraid? What did she say to Peter? Somebody has come and taken our Lord. They've taken him. They've stolen his body. So she was fearful. John went in. And when he went in, he looked around and saw the same thing, that Jesus was not there. And you know what he said? He believed. He believed of what Jesus said. He probably didn't understand it all because they didn't. But he believed. Jesus told him, I am going to have to die, and then I'm going to rise from the dead. And he believed. You know, these three people, they all saw the same thing, just like we all saw the same thing in this, right? One was curious, one was sad, and one believed. You know what? It's pretty much like that today. Sometimes when we talk about God and Jesus, some people are afraid. They think God doesn't like them. Some people don't believe. They could be curious. Well, maybe not today. I won't think about Jesus. But other people believe. And we are those that believe, aren't we? We believe that Jesus rose from the dead today. And we believe because of that, we can live. And we can accept him into our hearts. And he washes away our sins. And one day then, where will we go? To heaven too. And that's a very exciting thing. That is what we celebrate today. So let's pray. And then somebody from our church has been so kind that they gave us all a little activity book. So I will give you those. And after I give you those, then you come over and get a paper from Cindy. And then I'll help you too, Cindy. Okay, let's pray. Fold your hands. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Lord, we love you so much, and we're so excited today. You have risen, Jesus. And because you live, we live too. And we will see you one day, and that's what we are so excited about. Help us to remember that today and every single day, that you live inside of us. And you want us to share with others about you, how much you love them. Bless these boys and girls today. Help them to be that light that shines to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so they're all the same, okay? They're all the same book. They're just a different color. So just take one. Sorry. Here, go ahead now. Go get the paper. Okay, once you get one. Yep. Pastor.
Caden is going to sing a special for us called Then Came the Morning. You might recognize this from the Gaithers. A man named Guy Penrod, I think, is who wrote this. So.
To say they just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. They had dreamed were not what they seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the guard in the jail, the hammer, the nail, how could a knight so long? Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death has lost and life had won, for morning had come. The angel, the star, the kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine, Now it was done. They take in her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true. She watched him die too. She'd heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again. Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. Turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. Morning had come.
Thank you, Caden and Jennifer, for working that up. A glorious song. A wonderful message. Let's bow our heads, please, once more. Heavenly Father, Lord, what an amazing plan. As we know and we've said so many times recently, Jesus, you are the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world. Father, you knew it all, and you know it all. From eternity past to eternity yet to come. And we live it out day by day, and we're so grateful that we live on this side of the cross, that we can rejoice on this day. All week long we can rejoice because we know the end of the story. And they didn't. But we thank you for your word recorded for us today, that you tell us just how it happened and with such excitement and joy. And so we look into your word, the very living word of God, your word that is truth, absolute truth. And we thank you for it. And I ask, Father, that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Just a side note real quick here. If you don't know, that's John. He refers to himself as the other disciple in his gospel. Going on with verse 5. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Amen. Such a beautiful passage there, much of it focusing on Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdala. So she was called Mary Magdalene. If you were at our cantata last Sunday night, or saw a lot of you sang in it, you know several of the songs were out of this passage of Scripture. There were many nights after practice I went to bed and all that phrase, "They have taken my Lord out of the tomb and I don't know where they have laid him." Some of you others probably as well, that phrase just rolls over and over. And so it is, so beautiful as the song too. So there is an outline if you're wanting, there's a few blanks there. The number one, "Then came the morning," just as the song was called. Then came the morning, as it said in the first verse of our text, early on the first day of the week. Do you know that's why we gather on Sundays for worship? Because it is the day our Lord and Savior was raised from the dead, the first day of the week. While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she went running, right, to Simon Peter and to John, saying that they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have laid him. We know, I think we all know, none of the followers of Christ, men or women, were expecting a resurrection. Mary Magdalene wasn't. There was a couple other women with her that morning. John just mentions her. Some of the other gospels tell us it was another Mary, mother of James the younger. He was one of the 12 disciples. She was there. Salome, she was there. If we'd look in Mark's gospel, chapter 16, we know it tells us clearly that once that morning came, they first went and bought spices to anoint his body. They didn't know what Friday was going to hold. They didn't know what through that night, Thursday night, was going to hold. So it wasn't, they didn't just have burial spices in the cupboard. Oh, let's just grab some. We keep them on hand. No. So Friday at sundown, that's why they had to get Jesus off the cross before sundown, because that started their Sabbath till through Saturday sundown. So early that morning, they went to get the spices to anoint his body further for the burial. It had to be. It was just a rush. Remember, Joseph of Arimathea, who was part of the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, both of them who had become to believe in Christ as Messiah, they went to Pilate on that Friday and asked for the body. Pilate said, well, you got to make sure he's dead in that whole account there. So they took him, wrapped him in the burial clothes, laid him in that tomb, Joseph's tomb, a tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Then came the morning. So they were going, as I said, to anoint the body. Their dreams, I love the verses of that song. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they'd seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail, how could a night be so long? We've all been there in different situations of our lives. We have all been there. Dreams, not what they seemed. I think of all the young people here, high schoolers, college age, and young adults. You know, you've got these dreams for your life. Things happen, don't they? Things happen. Sometimes surgeries, unexpected, that we don't really get over like we hoped, and or whatever it might be. But morning is coming. Then came the morning. The chorus says, night turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. So as we're going to focus a lot on Mary Magdalene, but certainly on Christ. Back to these, the trials of life that can seem so long. Journeys through difficult situations, wondering, is this ever going to change? Maybe sickness, maybe disease that some struggle with, that we have a lot going on in our congregation right now and in our community with cancer and other diseases. Emotional struggles, whatever they might be. But always remember, morning is coming, and that's why I love the morning. Now, some of you maybe are night owls. I'm not. We're not. We're early birds in the morning. And it's a fresh new day, no matter what was yesterday. When I go to bed, I'm always like, Father, I thank you. Tomorrow is a new day. It's a new day. Doesn't mean maybe the struggle isn't over, but it's a new day. And Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You think about Mary Magdalene. I don't know if you're familiar with her story or not. Some of you probably are. But both Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel tell us a little bit of her past. She was a woman out of whom Jesus Christ himself cast out seven demons. Can you imagine her torment, the shame, the hopelessness, the rejection? I mean, if she was possessed by seven evil spirits, she was not in control of her life. Now, we do not know. Scripture does not tell us how that happened. I guess we don't need to know. There's speculation. Matter of fact, this week I was Googling, Mary Magdalene. I'm just telling you, if you do that, you have got to be very careful. There's a lot of crazy stuff out there. They've made crazy movies about her life. Some have said, she was married to Jesus and they had children together. Telling you what, that is a flat-out lie. So be careful with that. What we know is what Scripture tells us. That is what we know. Out of a woman whom Jesus cast out seven demons. Think of the torment, the torture, the constant unrest that she lived with because of that. My guess is probably most of you have never experienced or encountered someone like that. Scripture tells us of another man in the Gospels, the madman of Gadara, he's referred to as. He was possessed by a legion of evil spirits. And Jesus came to him on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He was up in the cemetery, the tombs. That's where he lived. Scripture says about him, they tried to tie him with chains, his arms, his ankles, but he'd just break them off. That was because of those evil spirits within him that he could do that. Says he cried out night and day in the tombs, just screaming and screeching, cutting himself with sharp stones. Why? Because those evil spirits, what do? They try to destroy him. And Jesus came and set him free, totally free. Remember that account? So Mary Magdalene, as she was set free and delivered, radically changed, she gave her entire life to following Christ. The Gospels tell us in Luke 8, it says she and these other women supported his ministry. You know, it's like ministries today. There had to be giving, and there was then. The Scripture also tells us Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary was a very common name in that culture. Mary Magdalene was at the cross when most of the disciples had fled. She was there watching the crucifixion. Scripture tells us Mary Magdalene also followed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to the tomb and watched where they laid him. That's how she knew where she was going that resurrection morning. She knew how it was to be set free and how beautiful. So we see the account, of course, she runs, the tomb's empty. All that is on her mind now, all she can think is they have stolen the body. It says two or three times in that passage. First time she goes to Peter and John, they have taken the Lord and I don't know where they have put him. Sort of neat as we go on in the verses, she changes when she's there with the angels and Jesus himself. She changes that to, they have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him. So we come to the second, if you're filling those in. Why are you crying? Why? Verse 11, I'm jumping over to there. Mary stood outside the tomb. See, by this point, Peter and John, they had both been in there. They saw the burial cloths laying there. They saw the part that had been laid, wrapped around his head, folded up nicely. There's a whole deal on that. Just real quick, I'll just tell you, with that napkin in that day as they were having a meal, when the master was done with his meal, there was always a servant watching for signals. When the master was done with the meal, if he was totally done, he'd just throw that down just as it would fall. If he was not done with the meal but had to go maybe restroom or whatever, he would fold that napkin up nicely. That was the signal to that servant, I'm not done, I'm coming back. Whew. That burial cloth around his head, it says it was folded up. The other cloths lying there. Think of Lazarus when Jesus raised Lazarus and he came out of the tomb and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes, the Bible says, bound hand and foot out of that tomb and they wrapped him tight. I always have to think, he must have come out something like that. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Well, Jesus, whether he unwrapped himself or he just came right through those claws and poof, which he certainly could have. So why are you crying? Here's Mary still outside the tomb. Peter and John had gone back to their homes. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Her answer, "They have taken away my Lord." It's got to be personal for each of our lives. It's not just about, "Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe he was a good man. Yeah, I believe he did miracles. I believe that, yeah. But, you know, is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? Do you know him?" It'd be like knowing about a famous basketball star. You know, maybe you know all the statistics about this guy and his age, his family, his records, what championships he's won and everything. But have you ever met him? Probably not. Anybody ever met LeBron James in here? Aaron Rodgers, you Packer people. Ever got to shake his hand? Probably not, but you know a lot about him, don't you? Somebody came up to Aaron Rodgers and said, Aaron, there's this guy out here. His name's Caleb Pressler. Well, maybe he's a Viking. You're a Viking, aren't you? Sorry. Woo. Larry Kirschman, wherever you're at. Got to get myself in trouble. Say, there's this guy out here, Larry Kirschman. He says he knows all about you and he wants to meet you or Glenn. And he says he knows you. Who? I don't know that guy. Never heard his name before in my life. No, I'm not going to meet him. No, it's got it. Jesus, you can know all about him, but you have to know him as your Lord and Savior. And Mary says, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." Let's talk the angels there. Letter A. Mary was so blinded in her mind by the problem, what she thought was the problem. "They have taken my Lord out of the tomb. I don't know where they have put him." She couldn't even realize these were angels. You said, well, it says they were just dressed in white. Yeah, John's gospel says that. But Mark or Luke's gospel in chapter 24 says their clothes gleamed like lightning. These weren't just two ordinary men. You know, angels can appear in the likeness of men. They can do that. All right? But these two, it was bright. And I'm not knocking her, okay? I'm not knocking her at all. She was faithful to her Lord. But she was so blinded by the problem, she couldn't realize there were two angels in that tomb talking to her. Isn't that something? We can get that way, can't we? We can get that way with situations, trials, troubles in our own lives. All we can see is the problem and not the bigger part of the issue. Our superintendent, I love what he said, Tom Rice. This was last summer. I met him at a Mad Frog game, talking to him. I know his wife has cancer and has for some time. Struggles there. And one thing he said to me, a statement I've thought of many times, he said, "But you know what, Pastor Mike, in this battle against cancer, which is no fun for anybody," he said, "we try not to let the little C overshadow the big C." Now, in that, a lot of times we call cancer the big C, don't we? We do. But he was calling it the little C. And again, I'm not making light of it. But that's what he was saying. We try not, as we're walking through this, my wife and I and our family, we try not to let the little C, cancer, overshadow the big C, Christ. I said, I love that statement. Because he is the one who has the final say in these things. So we have to watch ourselves in the struggles of life, that we don't get so consumed by the situation itself, we can't see God, who is far, far greater. Letter B, Jesus. After the angels asked her that, she answered him. It says, at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize it was Jesus. Woman, see, first time he says, woman. Why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener. Again, if we call this tunnel vision, yeah, we get sometimes tunnel vision. Yeah, we got to be focused on things. But when it's focused on the wrong thing, that's not so good. Sir, she's thinking he's the gardener. If you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. And Jesus said, Mary. I love that. And all the more going back to our cantata, you that sang in it, there's that part. Mary, we all raw, you know, Mary, Mary, singing all four parts. And I just could see that, Jesus, Mary. And all at once, her eyes were opened, weren't they? Yes, she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, or teacher. In other words, it's you, it's you. Instantly, this is part of the words of a song we sang from the cantata. Instantly, she knew her risen Lord. All at once, she recognized, and quickly she believed that Jesus lives. Jesus lives. Jesus lives again. Can you say Jesus lives, please?
Jesus lives.
And once more. Jesus lives. Yes, he does. And that's the greatest news of that day and of this day, every day of our lives that we live in. Third, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. So Jesus says, don't hold on to me. Now again, one of the other gospels says they clasped his feet. John doesn't give that detail, but obviously she did. Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. Amen. Oh, now for some people, your encounter with Christ, knowing him, maybe was very dramatic, maybe very spectacular. For others, maybe not, and that's okay. Whichever it was, it doesn't mean that if you didn't have a dramatic encounter with him, that it wasn't anything true, all right? It's just how he works in each of our lives. But we have to know him. And again, I know there's struggles in this group right here this morning. I know there's struggles in the congregation of ones who are not able to be here. And Jesus knows it too. And he knows what you're facing. And he knows you by your name. And he is working. He's working by his word and his spirit, number one. He's working through others. So often we think it's got to be a certain way that he meets our need, and he's trying to meet that need through someone, a friend or a brother or sister in Christ, and maybe the person's rejecting it. And Jesus is in that. The answer will come in his time. Think of Thomas. I'll close with this. Doubting Thomas, right? He, on that first resurrection day, Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene. Scripture says that. Then it was to the 12. Later in the day, there was the two guys on the road to Emmaus. That evening, Thomas comes in after Jesus had left. They said, we've seen the Lord. He says, unless I see the nail prints in his hands, see where the spear was punched in his side, I will not believe. And you know what? Jesus made him wait a whole week. Made him wait a whole week before he showed up again. Probably just trying to teach him a lesson. Sometimes we can get that same way, right? We can have that same attitude on things. No. Thank God for his mercy as he always works with us. And then Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Amen. So I pray as we close today that you know Jesus as your Lord, that you could say that to him, that you do say that to him. If not, then get that adjustment made and call out to him today. Don't wait. Do not wait. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, the glory of this day, the excitement of this day, we love it so very much. And I thank you for everyone gathered in this sanctuary, and you know each one of us, Lord, by name. You know whether we know you, whether we don't. You know whether we're just playing the game, sitting on the fence, not in it with all of our hearts, or whether we are in it to serve you with all of our hearts. And I pray that we all are, Lord, that you reach out and touch each of our lives as only you can do. For those that are in need of healing this morning in their physical bodies, I pray, Lord, that you would just reach down and touch them, Father, as only you are able to do, and refresh and restore and bring life, number one, spiritually, that we would know you as Lord and Savior. Thank you that we're able to meet today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is Christ Arose, number 357. We'll stand and you sing that out as well. Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thanks for being here. Those in the balcony, if you didn't know by now, the speakers are up there, right? I told Cindy to crank it up.